What's up, Atlanta? Happy hump day with Turtle. We will put up just one finger tonight because we got Hawks basketball. Hopefully they can turn things around after a slow start. But we'll get to that at the top of the hour. We'll let Mike Conti and Steve Holman bang handle those responsibilities because we got to talk about the Falcons, y'all. Let's waste no time. 404-726-0929. I'm angry today. Oren Romain, I'm angry today. I got to let you hear a couple pieces of audio to explain why I'm angry today, and then we're going to get right to the phones. I'll take as many calls as I can between now and 7 o'clock. Atlanta, I'm angry. Last time this happened, Oren, you'll remember, Zach Robinson spoke, Raheem Morris spoke, and I actually sat here like a fool on these airwaves and praised them. And I praised them. Oren, you remember this? I said, Zach Robinson, I thought he had his best. I'm such a fool. I said this on these airwaves. I said, Zach Robinson had his best press conference as a Falcon. Because he, not only did he say all the right things, he literally, like somebody read a bullet point list in his ear, addressed every single thing that went wrong in the Carolina debacle and how they were going to fix it. And I was like, wow, this guy, maybe it was a disaster, but at least it sounds like he gets it. Raheem Morris, same thing. I was like, wow, these guys sounded lost during the game, after the game, but they regrouped. They came back to the podium strong. And again, it was almost like they were listening to the radio station, jotted down bullet points of every single thing we were talking about what needs to be fixed, and they addressed it head on. And I was like, bravo. Bravo, guys. I said that was the best press conference that Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris had as the leaders of the Falcons. Not so much anymore. It's hitting different, guys, and not in a good way. Oren, it's hitting different, as the kids say. And not in a good way. Here's Raheem Morris. Oren, let's cue this one up. Here's Raheem Morris today with Dukes and Bell talking about why they decided to hang on to Zach Robinson for now. His response to me, it just didn't work. It didn't satisfy me in a way that allows me to believe that I can trust these people moving forward for the season. Here's what he told Dukes and Bell.
Of course, it's like the best offense we've had since 2016. And we've done a really good job over the last 2 years. And we've done some great things all across the board. We got to get better in the red zone this year. And we can do a better job in the red zone this year. And I believe in my guys. I believe in what they do. I believe we'll go out there and get the stuff done. I believe we have the system in place, the coaches in place. I believe the guys are in place, and we'll go out and get those guys ready to go, and we'll play football. Like, it's not about defending everybody. It's not crisis management every time something goes wrong. You got to go out there, and you got to play and do what you do and how you believe in it, and that's what we do.
Rah, it is crisis management, my guy. Sorry. I know you say, oh, well, it's up to the fans and the media to press the panic button. No. I'm not saying you admit defeat. I'm not saying you admit failure. I'm saying you address the freaking situation head on, my man. Come on. Not a crisis management situation. You got blown out by the Dolphins 34-10. And the week before, you got exposed by San Francisco. What do you mean it's not crisis management mode? You don't need to say crisis management, but it is crisis management. You use the words, not Dukes and Bell. You brought that up yourself. Sorry, that doesn't hit right with me. And saying it's the best offense since 2016? Oren, did you watch the last 2 weeks of this team play football on offense? Like, that's almost like a how dare you situation, sir? Like, really? That sounds to me like you're not taking the vitriol of the fan base seriously. That's how that quote hit me. Like, everybody relax, we're fine. Like, we can't sit down there in the swamp with you peasants and worry about the same things that y'all are worried about. I get it. You have to focus on the next game. But to not even acknowledge the extent to which you got whooped the past 2 weeks, that's not acceptable either. You can't manipulate the situation and make word salad out of this situation. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So, no, this is why I'm mad today. Because Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson, the first time this happened, I thought they struck the perfect tone. I thought they had the right messaging. And I thought they sounded like a team that actually learned from what they did wrong. This time around, basically telling us to just shut up and sit on the sidelines because we don't know what we're talking about because we're emotional fans? No. Sorry. No. This team is 3-4 and on the verge of another collapse. And don't try to tell me it's not, because it is. I watched every snap of the San Francisco game. I watched every snap of the Miami game. This team is in bad shape right now. And again, I don't need the coach to go out there and say the ship is sinking. That's not his job either. But to go so far in the other direction as to basically scold the fan base for being emotional and being concerned about the state of the team. Really? I mean, really. That to me, again, was a total opposite reaction to what I had the last time this happened with this team, which was when the team spoke, let us know the plan for the middle of the week. I sat here on this very radio station, Chris Thomas tonight on 92.9 The Game, and I clapped. I clapped. I said, great job, Zach. I said, great job, Ra. I think you guys nailed it. You nailed the tone. You nailed the issues. And again, it was like somebody whispered the secret sauce in their ear and was like, these are the exact things we need to fix, and this is how we're going to fix them. I thought it was a stroke of genius on both of their parts. Loved it. This time around, oh boy. Really? Really, Ra? Like, essentially telling the fan base, you know, we're not worrying about that because we can't, because we have to just focus on the game, and that's on you. That's on you to get upset and be emotional. You're damn right it is. You lost 34-10 to a 1-6 football team at home and sank yourself to 3-4. Sorry, man. Yeah, I am upset. I am emotional. I am petty, as you know. And when I get that sort of response from my head coach, that does not inspire confidence in me. It does not. That does not lead me to believe that this thing is headed in the direction of being fixed. Quite the opposite, as a matter of fact. I want to hear solutions. I want to hear solutions to problems. I don't want to hear why, as the coaching staff, you can't be worried. You should be worried. This has last year and the previous 6 years written all over it. Sorry. Don't tell me that you can only think this way and I can only think. No. No, 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 no. We are the ones that watch the games, pay the hard-earned money to go to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and watch this team play. If you get blown out in New England on Sunday, that is going to be a sight for sore eyes at the next home game. Tell me I'm wrong, Oren. Tell me I'm wrong. That would be a sight for sore eyes at the next home game if you guys lose big to New England on Sunday. This team cannot afford to be arrogant. This team cannot afford to be dismissive of an emotional, upset fan base. What happened to Raheem? Oren, do you remember what happened the game after Carolina? Raheem's opening statement. You know what he said? That was for the fans. Because we're sorry about the way we played against Carolina. Where's that energy now, Ra? That's what I need from you, bud. Sorry. 404-726-0929. When we get back, I'll let you hear more, and we're going to jump right to the busy phones. If you're on hold, stay there. You'll be up first. I see my guys lining up. Scott, Yo, Ramil, Norris, Mark, Vicky, you guys are all up first when we get back. Full phone lines. I'm angry today. That was not what I needed to hear from our head coach. Listen, the season's not over. I'm not panicking, but I'm frustrated as all get out, and I need my head coach and the offensive coordinator to strike the right tone when it comes to taking accountability and when it comes to sending the right message to the fan base. And I felt like with that comment and a couple of others, that was not done today. I need more from Raheem Morris. I expect more from Raheem Morris. I think he can be a good coach. But in certain instances, in-game and during some of these media appearances, You got to be able to strike the right note. And I thought after Carolina, he did such a good job of it. I was expecting that again today, and I just frankly didn't get it. Back to your calls, 404-726-0929. I'm with you till 7. Let's go. Before we get right to your calls, just want to remind you to join the morning shift every Friday for the Tailgate at Home, presented by Publix. Bo Morgan will fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes. And you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the morning shift. That's the Tailgate at Home, presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Chris Thomas Turtle with you till the top of the hour. The Hawks take over then, trying to get a big win, much-needed win out in Brooklyn. We'll see if they can do it. Guys, I'm angry. I just am. I feel like a fool because last time this happened, they came out, meaning Zach Robinson and Raheem, and I thought they did such a good job of establishing the narrative of what went wrong, vowing to fix it, and just nailing every single thing that needed to be fixed. This time around, nah, sorry. Tone, not matched. It just wasn't matched. I felt like Raheem on Dukes and Bell today did not strike the necessary tone in order to quell the anxiety of the fan base. As a matter of fact, he tried to separate the two things very strongly. And I understand what he was saying. He's saying, listen, as a coaching staff, if we get too high or too low, the whole house of cards falls apart. And that's fine. But don't at the same time say that, you know, the emotions are reserved for the fans. That sounds demeaning to a certain extent. Like, no, I am allowed to feel upset after your team spit the bit 2 weeks in a row in the worst way possible. Sorry, man. You got embarrassed twice after losing 30-0 to Carolina. You got embarrassed in San Francisco. You got embarrassed at home to Miami. And to just come out and say that so flippantly, to me, hit the wrong note altogether. Let's see what you guys think. Scott's up first. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle, how you doing?
What's up, Scotty?
Hey, listen, I think it was about a month ago, even after a win, I came on and I said, Zach Robinson's not the man for the job and he's not going to take us where we want to go. But, you know, I look at this Patriots game and it's a horrible matchup for us because, you know, we want to run the ball, but they're stout against the run. They got a great defense and, you know, Josh McDaniels is an excellent coach. So this is going to be a very tough matchup for us, as will the Indianapolis Colts game. And I do believe we're going to be 3-6 once it's over with. And I don't think that Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris, Raheem will survive. I don't think they will. So it's only a matter of when, not if they're fired. Now, as far as what you're mad about, I think, you know, on one of your other shows, one of the callers said, you know, Turtle, you're setting yourself up for disappointment because it's the same old Falcons, but it's also the same old Raheem. He ain't going to change now. He is what he is. He's very passionless, and it's all coach speak. You know, I don't really understand him. I guess I'm not mad. I'm more of, you know, not understanding, because it's like you would think that he'd have this passion, he'd have this, you know, fire under him that says you got to get it together because your job's on the line. But it didn't seem like that. So I'm hopeful, but I'm really pessimistic at the same time, because I just think that we're not going to win these next two, and it's only a matter of time before we're sitting there and the season's mathematically over, and we're searching for a new coach and we fail to make the playoffs again. So it's really frustrating. And I share your pain. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Scott, thanks for checking in as always, man. 404-726-0929. Scott, if this thing's 3-6, I think it is over. I mean, you'd essentially have to run the table. If you get to 3-6, forget it. You need to essentially win every single game, and this team has certainly not shown you the ability to do that. Let's go to Yo. Yo's up next. Go ahead.
I disagree with you, man. We could run the table even at 3-6. So I'm going to just start here because this is the easiest way for me to start. When you marry someone, You have to go to the dance with the person that you brought. And that is the issue that we're dealing with right now. I had the distinct honor of speaking with you right after we signed Kirk Cousins and everyone was super elated. And I said to everyone, we are going to have to upgrade at right tackle. Everyone said, oh, no, Caleb McGarry is this, that, and the other. Yeah, not really. Now we're sitting here about a year and a half later, and we're looking at a right guard who cannot defend any of the defensive tackles that are in our division, whether it be Mr. Brown sitting over there in Carolina or Mr. Vea sitting down there in Tampa. Those people dominate him. And we're sitting here acting as if the offensive line is okay because against certain teams, they perform very well. But against most teams that have a stout interior defensive line, our team really sucks balls. So we are in a position where we have to dance with the girl we brought to the ball. And that is what Raheem was telling everyone today. I cannot today, at this moment, replace these offensive linemen. Regardless if somebody is 37, about to be 38, regardless if a guy is on injured reserve and can't play at all and got Kirk Cousins killed against New Orleans last year when he tripped over the other guy's feet. The inside of our offensive line, outside of Matt Bergeron, is not stout enough for us to do what we want to do. And that's why we keep seeing the same results regardless of who is back there at quarterback and regardless of what play is called. Our offensive line is getting blown up. There was something that the guys on the morning shift used to say in their opening intro about the trenches and the big guys. And right now, our trenches on the offensive line are subpar, to say the least. And that is why we're sitting here looking at this and saying, we should be able to beat those guys. Why can't we? Well, because the defensive line for the Miami Dolphins was better than our offensive line. The defensive line for the San Francisco 49ers was better than our offensive line. The defensive line for Tampa is better than our offensive line. And at this point, unfortunately, the defensive line for the Carolina Panthers is better than our offensive line.
No, yo, and the I hear NFL, you, and I thank you for checking in. As always, my friend, I just got to let you go because we got a bunch of other people to get to. But thanks for checking in, as always. Right, you're right. But the thing is, Zach Robinson, Raheem Morris, and T.J. Yates and the entire offensive staff, you see, I'm going to use your own phrase that you said, dance with the girl that you brought. That's what you have to do. But at the same time, you also have to make the adjustments. Oren, I will pound this into the table until it's ground into dust. You have to be able to make the adjustments. What is Kurt Warner saying? What is Dan Orlovsky saying? They're saying that the Atlanta Falcons have the most predictable offense in the NFL. So whether it's a personnel issue or whether it's a coaching issue or whether it's a combination of both, you have to be able to mitigate the circumstances in order to make the most of what you can do effectively offensively. Even if the offensive line isn't as good as you thought it would be, you have to adjust. And that's what the Atlanta Falcons are failing at. And that's what I didn't hear enough of today from Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson. And that's why I'm mad today. 404-726-0929. Ramil's up next. Ramil.
What's going on, boss?
Yo.
As far as the comments from the coach, it don't really bother me either way because, I mean, the game isn't won or lost in a radio interview. But like I told you like a month ago, it's going to be another wasted Falcons season because we're still going with another unproven coordinator. You essentially got a rookie quarterback with an offensive coordinator learning on the job, and you're just going to have too many ups and downs with that. It feels like we're just wasting a lot of talent on offense and a lot of talent on defense. It's just being wasted again with Rob going with, I guess, one of his guys. I can just imagine what a coach like Kyle Shanahan would do with an offense. Like, and it makes me mad to just think about it.
No, and you're 100% right, and that's the problem. It's that Zach Robinson has not shown himself in a year and a half now to be an elite offensive coordinator. Are we expecting him to be Kyle Shanahan at this point in his career? No, but to our caller's point, it's got to be better. It's just got to be better. Again, you can't be blown out in this game against the Dolphins. You can't be absolutely run over by the San Francisco 49ers and not be able to run the ball in back-to-back weeks. It can't happen after the Carolina game already happened. That's three games of the season that you played so far out of seven, that it's just been unmitigated disasters. It can't be this way. And to hear the coaching staff with the messaging that they put out today, I don't think it helped, quite frankly. Let's go to Norris up next. Norris.
Hey, what's up, Turtle?
What's up, Norris?
Not much. So I'm going to be the first one to jump on this ship with you. The dismissiveness of the fans just honestly seemed kind of disrespectful to the fans. Let's be honest. I mean, granted, Arthur Blank is the owner of the Falcons. He is the financial backing of the Falcons, yes. But without your fans, you don't have the income coming in from jersey purchasing, hats, socks, towels, flags, whatever, because nobody believes in it. But what also rubbed me wrong was when he was sitting there and he was talking to Mike, and I don't know if he said it directly to Mike and meant to say it to Mike or not, but when he said, that's why you don't play in the NFL, that rubs me the wrong way. That's condescending. That makes it seem as if I'm above you. You're below me. You don't know what you're talking about, and I don't feel the need to have to express to you what's truly going on because of that. Therefore, there's a line of respect that I feel that was just completely thrown out the window, and if he's going to handle it that way, then I feel as if then maybe Mike and Carl, when they have the opportunity to have these interviews with him, treat him the same way. Treat him like he treated you, because at the end of the day, what difference is it going to make? He doesn't tell us the truth. He doesn't tell us what's really going on. All he does is put icing on the cake, and that cake ain't worth a damn. So at the end of the day, I don't feel for him. I don't feel like that any fan should. And I will say I usually agree with Mr. Yo on most things that he says, but I don't disagree that our offensive line is subpar to some of these teams, but you can't tell me that the scheming isn't the problem when we're running eight plays.
Yeah, you have to be offense. You're exactly right, and great stuff. I appreciate the phone call. You're right on both fronts. You have to be able to adjust. I'm going to just continue to say it because, again, I'm going to bang my head against the wall on this take. You have to be able to adjust. Your offense has become predictable to the point where it's gotten exposed. You have to adjust. There is no adjustment right now. And as far as Raheem goes, yeah, it's tough. I don't think that was the way to address a reeling fan base today. I get what he was saying. He was saying that we as coaches and inside this building cannot let emotion infiltrate the building. But to then double down on it to that extent and essentially, you know, say that's left up to y'all and the fans, like, really? Like, okay, like, that's not what we need to be hearing right now. 404-726-0929. I see Vicky, Glenn, Ken, Tim, Corey, James. You guys are all up next. Grab a line. I got one more segment to take your calls. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Hey, this Saturday from noon until 2, join our very own Allie Mack at Lusab Kia and Coming as we get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit, 50-inch 4K smart TV with rolling stand, and other prizes. Plus, another winner takes home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, that's this Saturday from noon to 2 at Lusab Kia and Coming with Allie Mack and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until the top of the hour. Hawks pregame comes your way then from Brooklyn, where the Hawks look to bounce back. But we're taking more of your calls, 404-726-0929. Not happy today, y'all. I just don't think the press conferences from Zach Robinson and Ra, and then Ra's appearance on Dukes and Bell, as much as they struck that right chord after the first time they got blown out, I just don't think it hit the mark today. I really wasn't a big fan of what I heard on several fronts, but the most being the following, Oren, as we queue up the cut Raheem Morris was asked by Dukes and Bell about dealing with, you know, a fan base that's quite concerned about the way that the season is going, and this was his response.
We got a Super Bowl curse here in Atlanta, and it's like a hangover from everybody, and everybody feels that, right?
You're
so
right.
It's like one of those things, right? But, like, every organization goes through a lull in the season. You go through points, mm-hmm. right? We won a Super Bowl in L.A. We lost four games in a row. It's the same feel, that same sense of urgency, that same type of fight. And you had to get back and figure it out, right? And then those things happen within a year, within a day, within a game. But you can't blink, right? You got to go out there and you got to figure out what's wrong. You got to go out there and correct them and make those things happen. And that's what's going to get done, right? You don't just get panicky. And like you're talking about, right, panic can't be within – the framework of our building. Panic is supposed to be outside the building. That's what's fun for the fans. That's what we love. That's what we go out there and do. But the emotional roller coaster that you guys are able to ride, we can't. We got to go find ways to get better and go play the games and find ways to win. Like I just mentioned, man, there's ways to win every single game, and there's the way to win each individual game. That's what you go through.
I'm sorry. Like, that's just not it for me. That's just not it. You know, essentially, you know what it feels like? It feels like, you know, you're back in middle school and high school, and you really like a girl, and you finally muster up the strength to go up to her and ask her out. And, you know, you put your best outfit on for the day. Maybe you even, you know, bring her a flower or something, and she pats you on the head and she calls you cute. And she says, "Oh, that's cute. Thank you." That's what it feels like when the head coach talks about, "Oh, this city has a Super Bowl hangover, a curse attached to it. This team's fans are just on an emotional roller coaster." No, sorry, it didn't hit right with me. That's not what I want to hear. Again, I get it. He's saying we can't have those things infiltrate our building, but to acknowledge it in that sort of a way really just struck a wrong chord with me. It just doesn't sit right. 404-726-0929. Vicky's up first. Vicky, go ahead.
Hi, here is my rendition of Coach Raheem. There are no excuses. We've got to do better. We'll fix it. Now, this is Vicky. I'm over. I'm done with it. And like the song you just played, it feels like between him and the fans, keep us separated. Keep us all separated.
Yeah, no,
and Vicky, we don't matter.
Vicky, you're right. That's unfortunately the tone it was giving. You can't separate yourselves from the fan base. You have to be united with the fan base. You can't sit there and tell me about an emotional roller coaster ride that the fans are allowed to go on that we're not. The emotional roller coaster ride should be acknowledged by Raheem. I think again, he was trying to say the right thing. But it just did not come off that way. It came off to me like, again, the girl that you have a crush on, you ask her out and she pats you on the head and says, "Oh, that's cute. Thank you." Like, no, like don't belittle the feelings of the fan base. I need them to be acknowledged in a way that feels representative. No, we're out there with you. We're battling. We're grinding. We get it. We want to do better for you. We want to take that emotional pain away. Not, you know, again, like Vicky just said very smartly, don't separate us. We need to be united as fan base and coaching staff, not separated. And I feel like today's messaging did not help bring the fan base and the coaching staff together. If anything, and especially Oren, based on the phone calls tonight, y'all agree. 404-726-0929. I haven't had too many people call in so far and be like, "No, Turtle, Team Raw." Like, and again, this should not be a thing where it's separated. This should be a thing that melds us together. Through these trying times, you rise from the ashes like the phoenix, as the cliche goes, and you move together in unison. But comments like that don't do that. It just doesn't. It makes it feel like we're the team, you're the fan base, you know, stay in your lane. What was the quote from a few years ago, Oren, to LeBron, "Shut up and dribble"? This was like, shut up and be a fan. That's kind of what it felt like to me. Glenn's up next. Glenn.
Hey, I called about 2 weeks ago and I said no to you about them being consistent. I am just so fed up. Turtle, I feel with you. I am just mad to the level, just like you are. Who pays their check? The fans do. They make money from us going seeing them, from us watching them. And Ricky Morris, that is a slap in the face to the Atlanta fan base. We deserve better. We deserve so much better.
No, you're 100% right, and thanks for the phone call. And here's the thing. Here's the irony about the whole thing, right? This isn't Bill Belichick of 10 years ago telling the Patriots fan base to, you know, just hang tight with us after they had already won 5 Super Bowls. Like, Raheem Morris is what? Oh, 20 games under 500 as a head coach? Something like that. Like, this isn't, you know, Mike Tomlin telling the Steelers fan base, like, hey, man, like, we're doing our best. Just relax and hang tough with us. There's no, again, we talked about this last night. There's no cachet there. That's why this team has a leadership problem. Because your coach and your quarterback don't have the cachet in their belt buckle to pull out and say, hey, trust me, trust us. This is what is best for the team and the organization. Penix has started 9 games, and Raheem Morris is 20 games under 500 as a head coach. Ken's up next. Ken.
Hey, Turtle, man. Look, Turtle, don't get yourself worked up over this incompetent, depressing organization called the Atlanta Falcons and their coaching staff. Because at the end of the day, he's going to be gone. Hopefully it'll be at the end of the season. Because he's proven over and over, he's not a head coach. He doesn't have a clue. And he was talking about adjustments. Really? Adjustments. Picture that. Your OC making adjustments along with the other clown, Raheem. Really? Adjustments? That's been the problem, Turtle. They don't know how. They don't have the mental capacity. They don't know where to start after other coaches figure out what the hell they're doing. So at the end of the day, you're not going anywhere with this regime. I just hope and pray that your owner and Richie Boy decide to get them both out of here and get Les Snead in here and make him the president and CEO of this organization so we can move freaking forward if he's not going to sell the team. Thanks, man.
Yeah, Ken, I appreciate it. Love the passion. 404-726-0929. That's what's so scary about this, y'all. It's the lack of adjustments. There's that phrase again. Because, again, to Ken's point, coaches need to evolve. They need to grow. And right now it's going backwards. How can you sit there and tell me it's anything but going backwards after what we saw the last 2 weeks? It's unbelievable. Tim is up next. Tim, go ahead.
Turtle, hey, buddy.
What's up, Tim?
I got some thoughts and stats, and I got a question for you. So Rod never played in the NFL himself. He only played at Hofstra. And so his salary is $4 million a year. to be talking to Mike Bell like that was a little off-putting. The sentiments to the past few weeks about the fans not having to like us, it's their job to make them for them to make us like them or whatever. I don't even know what that means. We're not liking them. So we're right now in the worst stretch in the past 30 years. We haven't been this bad since the 1980s to 90s when we haven't gone to the playoffs in 8 years. and so it just seems like this is the organization is run by smart people that make dumb decisions, always trying to save their face, but then they make something stupid by always rehiring the same retreads. Heck, let's get Jerry Glanville back in here and Dirk Cutter. So my question is, would the Atlanta fans run the Atlanta Falcons better than the current regime? And I ask because we've been saying, you know, don't run the, you know, run play action, run 12 package, draft UGA players, draft SEC players, and they don't. They don't make adjustments. Raw doesn't set the tone. Don't increase ticket prices, and they do. Go out and get a new kicker. They don't. You know, bench Kirk Cousins last year. They didn't. So with the Atlanta Falcons, if we went head-to-head, Atlanta Falcons fans versus Atlanta Falcons organization, who would win and who would have a better record?
No, Tim, I understand, and thanks for the call. I understand the sentiment of the question and why you're asking, because it seems like a lot of this stuff is easily fixable, right, to Tim's point. Like, should Parker Romo still be the kicker? Should Storm Norton replace Elijah Wilkinson on the offensive line? Should they trade for a wide receiver yesterday as opposed to continuing to wait? Should they have taken a chance on Tyler Lockett? You know, it seems like a lot of these questions are easily answerable for us that watch the team and follow the team day in and day out. And that's part of the frustrating part about it is if you can't make those adjustments and you're sitting up here telling me essentially to mind my P's and Q's as a fan, not the right tone. It's just, again, I'm angry today. We'll continue to talk about this throughout the week. I just was so disappointed because I was so inspired the last time this happened. I thought Raheem and Zach did such a good job of getting in front of the issues, admitting their mistakes, and talking about a plan moving forward. I didn't hear that today. I heard a lot of separation between the fan base and the coaching and Flowery Branch, which, again, I keep cushioning it by saying it. I understand why, but if you're going to make that statement, it needs to be done in the right way. Back with you tomorrow to take more of your calls on this and all things Falcons. Enjoy Hawks basketball on 92.9 The Game.
Night, 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 night,